Amen. Philippians chapter 4, we are finally arriving at the last few verses, if you will, of the most joyous letter that Paul the Apostle has ever written. Matter of fact, we have called it, people call it, the Epistle of Joy. But however, when we come to our text this morning, there is a problem. There's a problem that affects you, that affects me, that affects believers and unbelievers, affects every person that walks on this planet. Matter of fact, it is so severe of a problem that during the COVID pandemic, in which we're still in, winding down, I pray, prescription drugs literally skyrocketed. And not only that, suicides increased dramatically. So with all that being said, we're going to look at a major issue that robs a person of the joy that God wants you to have. And that word is worry. It even sounds like a horrible word, doesn't it? Worry. You know? So this morning, we're going to look at God's methods on how to bring a cure for this. So, you know, what I did, I mean, you know, as any pastor normally does today, it uses any form of technology, I wanted to find out what the world, their cure was for worry. I was curious about it. So I Googled, as you know what I'm saying, right? I Googled how to stop worrying. Now, what I'm about to share with you is the advice from people that are highly, highly, highly educated, okay? This is not, any of this is a joke. So this is what some of the world is teaching others if you are an habitual worrier or whatnot. Let me just read it to you. The first one says this: if you worry a lot, it says create a worry period. Very interesting. It says choose a set time and place for worrying. It may be the same every day. In other words, in the living room, say at 5 to 5:20 p.m. And it says, and early enough that it won't make you anxious right before you go to bed. During your worry period, you're allowed to worry. You're allowed to worry about whatever is on your mind. But the rest of the day, however, is a worry-free zone. Number two, write down your worries. If an anxious thought or worry comes into your head during the day, make a brief note of it, and then continue about your day. Remind yourself that you'll have all the time to think about it later, so there's no need to worry about it right now. Also, writing down your thoughts on a pad or piece of paper on your iPhone or your computer is much harder work than simply thinking them, so your worries are more likely to lose their power. I didn't understand a word of that, did you? Number three, this is serious stuff, folks. Okay, number three, go over your worry list during your worry period. If the thoughts you wrote down are still bothering you, allow yourself to worry about them, but only for the amount of time you specified for your worry period. And as you examine your worries in this way, you'll often find it's just easier to develop a more balanced perspective. And if your worries don't seem important anymore, well, you know what? Simply cut down your worry period and enjoy the rest of your day. Now, for you who would love to embrace that, please be my guest. I can assure you that I don't even want to tell you how I feel about that, but I would like to tell you how I feel about God's cure for worry. Amen? So are you in Philippians 4:6? Let's look what God says. He says, be anxious for nothing. Say that with me. Be anxious for nothing. Did you know that that is a command? In the Greek, it's an imperative, if you will. And so this is a 2,000-year-old command that we have broken multiple times. Isn't that right? Come on. Yes. So when you think about this, remember Paul's in prison. He's writing from Rome to the church at Philippi, the first church established, a first Christian church established in Europe. And if you read it in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I study it, but I'm certainly not a scholar, it tells me this about the verse. Let me read it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing. So the construction of the Greek in the original languages, it tells me something about the believers at Philippi. They were habitual worriers, evidently. Because in the Greek construction, let me just read it. It says this in the Greek construction is forbidding a continuing action already habitually going on. So I don't think 100% of them were worrying like that, but the majority were habitual worriers. I pray you're not an habitual worrier. Amen? You remember that phrase? Why don't we just call the Philippians, they were worry warts, okay? You know what a worry wart is, right? It's not just a person who worries. It's a worry wart. What a word. Say that 10 times. A worry, there you see what I mean? Is a person who worries needlessly. They just worry on and on and on. So they evidently were just worry warts. And it says, do not be anxious. That word literally means do not be pulled in different directions. Do not be torn apart and so forth. So like whenever Jesus was speaking unto Martha and says, oh, Martha, Martha, you're so distracted and troubled about so many things and so worried. See, the word distracted there literally means to be pulled in different directions, and that's exactly what was happening in Martha's life. Remember Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus? So the word anxious means to be pulled in different directions or distracted, but it also means to divide. We get our word, our English word from the word anxious, we get our word worry, okay? David Martin, or Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great expositor who's gone home to be with the Lord, listen to what he said about anxious or divided. He says, worry is a mind divided into sections and is not functioning as a whole. That's what worry does. See, remember James 1:8, what does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Why? Your mind is divided. It's not a whole. And remember that worry is mental. Worry has to do with thinking and with thoughts that you have in your mind and the things that you're thinking about. And man, listen, that's tough. It's hard on us. Someone put it this way, and it's an anonymous person. They said this, what worries you masters you. Because worry has to do with our thoughts, loved one. So the command, do not worry. And then there's that word. It says, be anxious for nothing. Do you know what that word nothing literally means? Nothing. Hello? Look it up. It means not even one thing. And you may be saying, wait a minute, Paul is not in his right mind. He's writing from a prison cell. You know, he's not, that's right, he has a supernatural mind, doesn't he? He's trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but listen to me now. To be anxious for nothing doesn't mean not to care. Amen? It doesn't mean not to, okay, but que sera, sera. You know, remember that song? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's not carefree living and just, well, God's going to work it out. That's not what the Bible teaches at all, loved one. So what I want us to do is turn in our Bibles to Matthew's gospel. Hold your place. Don't lose it because we're going to come back. But go to Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. And let's look at verse 25 together, and let's see what our Lord talks about worry. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Matthew 6, 25. It's the first gospel, by the way. Now, what is Jesus saying? Well, first of all, Jesus is not saying not to care about your life, not to plan about your life. He's not saying to deny, walk in denial, these circumstances aren't happening or these problems aren't happening. He's not saying that at all. But he is saying this. Jesus is saying to every believer, do not be consumed with the main thing that you're always consumed about, and that is your life. Think about that. Don't worry about your life. Loved one, when you think about it, is it difficult? Yes, it is. But Jesus said, hey, don't do that. In other words, don't worry about your spiritual, your emotional makeup, whatever the things that are going on in your life, all of it. And why? Well, number one, you didn't give yourself life. God gave you life. Amen? True life. You have eternal life abiding in you, loved one. So Jesus says, therefore I say to you, this is very important now, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body, what you're going to put on. Now watch. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, an incredible verse. Look what Jesus says. He says, create a worry period. Did he say that? What did he say? What's that word? One word. Look. Let's say it together. Look. Are you ready for the greatest counseling on worry in all of the world? Are you ready for this? Look what Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, look what he says. He says, look at the birds. Does that kind of just knock you off your rocker a little bit? Okay, Lord, I am worried sick, and you want me to look at a bird? Hello? Do you understand where I'm going? He says, look at the birds of the air. Why? Well, they neither sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns. But listen, does a bird work? Boy, they work. They're busy. Are they always busy? Absolutely. And look what Jesus says. Yet your heavenly Father does what? Feeds them. And now a question. Are you, Christian, are you not of more value than they? So Jesus does something. And it hit me. Actually, beloved one, you know when it hit me? It hit me when I was shaving this morning. You know, that's usually when I get revelation, all right? You know, I don't know why. Who knows why? But it doesn't matter why. But when I started thinking about that, now wait a minute. The world says create a worry period, same time every day. Write down those worries. Jesus said, don't worry, just look at the birds. Do you see how deep that is? No, you don't get it. It says, look, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds. Well, you know, if you step outside, like I have a little bird bath, but Rebecca and I do in the backyard. She fills it with water. I sit down. I watch birds come in. They take a bath with my water. They don't pay my water bill. She used to have, you know, those feeders you put the seed in. Yeah, who paid for the seed? I did. They come in and eat it all. You know what I mean? Then they make a mess and all the rest of it. Then the squirrels come in and swing on the feeder. They want it too, you know? And there's birds everywhere, hummingbirds, and there have been the hummingbird wars. And no, hello. You know, we rescued she did. We have a back porch and all those hummingbird feeders. And guys, you know, if you mow the yard and you come and clean everything up, you always hit your head on them, right? I do. It doesn't matter. That's why I'm kind of weird today. So a hummingbird came and had the honey water, but I don't know what happened, and it flew the wrong way instead of back out, and it hit its head and was unconscious on the ground. Oh, yeah. No CPR. I'm not, you know. So there I was, and Becky picks that little bird up, and honest, she starts rubbing its stomach, you know, I guess giving it, you know, pumping air into it or whatever. And this is true. That hummingbird stands up on her hand and looks at her. And I'm going, this is too weird. It's like, you've heard of the bird man of Alcatraz? She's like the bird woman of Fort Worth, okay? And so you're looking at it, and then the bird flies off. And she walks down the sidewalk. This is honest God truth. And the bird comes back and comes right in her face and just stops and looks at her like, yes, like, thank you, hello. And then flies away. Jesus said, look at the birds. Man, I have those wax wings that come in, you know, those little red berries on those trees and all that. They come in, and what do? They eat those red berries. They're like a pig. I mean, they just gorge themselves, and you've seen them. They put the little red berry in the beak, and they're bloated, you know, and they pass it to the next little bird. And then finally they're so drunk they fall down on the ground. No, really, check it out. It happens all the time. Jesus said, look at those birds. Look at the birds. And I go, okay, well, I've never seen a worried bird. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, do you know a lot about birds? No. That's our problem. We don't know a lot about birds. Jesus, listen to me. Bill, you're kind of weird. No, listen. Jesus said, look at the birds. There's a reason. Jesus always has a reason. Amen? He said, watch them. Be an observer of birds. I don't know anything about birds. That's a sparrow. I got that one. That's a robin. Okay, that's a blue jay. I don't like blue jays. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't say if you liked them. He said, look at them. You know, let me give you some information about birds. Here, a flamingo. Did you know that a flamingo can only eat when its head is upside down? Think about that. See, I've never been a bird person. The largest bird in the world is an ostrich. When it lays an egg, it's nearly 2 pounds. The smallest bird is a hummingbird. And when they lay the egg, it's the size of a little pea. Now, I didn't know this about chickens. Are you ready? A chicken with red earlobes will produce brown eggs. I had no idea, and I used to raise chickens. And a chicken with white earlobes, they produce white eggs. Do you know how high a penguin can jump? You don't look at birds, that's why you don't know. They can jump over 6 feet high. Yeah, oh yeah. Listen to this, the fastest bird on the earth, they can travel when they're reaching their maximum dive, 242 miles an hour, the falcon. Did you know that an albatross can fly asleep? Yeah, and they can fly 25 miles an hour while they're sleeping. See, we don't look at birds. We don't know anything about nature. Jesus said, I want you to look at the birds. How about owls? Owls are really creepy, aren't they? No, the big ones. Did you know that an owl cannot move their eyes? They can only move their neck, remember? I had one about this tall. That's the truth. Wingspan about like that. Fly in one evening, land on my fence. And so I was at the screen door. I looked at that. I said, I told Becky, look at this man. Man, huge. And then so I thought, I'll get his attention because I can't see him. It's just he has his back to me. So I went, hoo, hoo. And you know, I've never witnessed the owls turn. Yeah, you know what I mean? And those big yellow eyes looked at me. I turned and locked my door. You know what I'm saying? No. So you think about all of those things. You know? I mean, think about the birds. Think about a duck. You ever just think about a duck? Did you know that a duck's quack doesn't echo anywhere and no one knows why? See, we don't know anything. We read what Jesus tells us to do. We're talking about worry. He says, I want you to go look at the birds. Do you know what kind of bird cannot fly? A jailbird. Never mind. All right. Now, where am I? Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds him. Do you remember what God told Job? In Job 38:41, God says, you know what? I provide the food for the ravens. I'm the one that takes care of the young ones when they cry. See, God feeds them. Now listen to me. Jesus said, are you not more value than they? Those birds. If our Heavenly Father cares that much for sparrows and robins and all the rest of them, how much more does He care for you, loved one? Amen? There's a beautiful poem by Elizabeth Cheney. It goes like this. It says, it's to a children's poem, by the way. It said, said a robin to a sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. I suppose that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. What a great word. Amen. Listen, Jesus says, which of you, in verse 27, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Think about it. Can you, if I'm going to worry and I'm going to increase my height by 18 inches, can you do that? No, well, Jesus said in Luke's gospel the same about worry. He says, well, if you can't do the least of these things, why are you worried about anything? Amen? Listen, can you lengthen your life? No, but here's the thing. But you can certainly shorten your life by worrying. Worrying is detrimental to the body and to mental health, loved one. So Jesus said, if you can't do those things, so why do you worry about clothing? And here he comes again. He said, look at the birds and look what he does now. This is the greatest counseling ever given on worrying, loved one. He says, consider. Say that word, consider. You know what that word means? It means to examine thoroughly. It means to examine thoroughly as to learn wisdom as to what you are looking at. He says, consider are examine thoroughly the lilies. Now we're at flowers. The lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon, or even Solomon, in all of his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. If you take a lily, see, I don't know a lot about flowers. I don't even know a lot about birds. And I watch Nova all the time, okay? And it's just entertaining to me to see all of God's creation. But Solomon, you go back and study Kings and find out Solomon in all of his glory, how he was arrayed. Look at his ivory throne. Look at his servants and all the things that he had. He said, no, go look at a lily. Solomon wasn't arrayed like that. If you put a lily under a microscope, that flower, the deeper you can penetrate into it, the more perfect it becomes. Isn't that amazing? See, I don't study flowers. I didn't do what Jesus said to do. You know, in my office at home, I have orchids. You know, orchids. Orchids. They're so beautiful. And I don't know one thing about orchids, but Becky puts water in them, okay? And some of them are the most beautiful blue. They don't even look real. And that's what Jesus is saying. We don't do exactly what the Lord says. We read it and say, okay, Lord. But no, he says, I want you to look at these flowers. And if you don't know a lot about flowers, then how are you going to know a lot about how to get out of worrying? What month is this? It's May. What happens in May along the Texas highways? The wildflowers, do they come out? Do the blue bonnets, they're everywhere, amen? So all the different varieties and all the different colors and so forth. And guess what? Did they have any part in their design? No, God created them all. Listen, Jesus says, so if God so clothes the field, the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow was thrown into the oven. In other words, if God, our Father, who loves us, who sent his only Son to die for us, our sins, loved one, if God, our Father, cares and gives that kind of attention to a bunch of birds and flowers, will he not, how much? Much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Loved one, listen, that's the key and the problem about worrying. We all worry. I worry sometimes. I have to fight just like you do to believe God's word. You know what I mean? Replace worry with God's word. Amen? Or however I was trying to say. So the deal is that little faith, you know, so we believe God to save us, forgive us, and bless us, and all the rest of it. But, you know, it says little faith. Little faith is not enough to face the struggles of life, nor to face worry. See, little faith knows Jesus, but little faith doesn't really trust Jesus. And you know, loved one, worry really eliminates trust in God. Eliminates trust in his grace and his goodness and his provision and his wisdom and his power. Do you understand? That's what worry does. So Jesus says, therefore, in other words, in light of everything that he's just told us, do not worry. Don't let your life be divided, your mind, your heart, your life be torn apart by worrying. And then Jesus does something. He's told us twice now to not worry. Do not worry. But this time he's going to add a word that's very significant. He says, do not worry. And here's the word, saying, speaking. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What does Jesus mean by that? Jesus is saying, listen, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? But when he says, you know, don't say those things. Don't say what I'm going to eat or how am I going to make it in this life and all the rest of it, what I'm going to take care of my kids or whatever it might be. And you know why we should not say that? Because when we do, we are believing and speaking a lie against God. Did you know that? God is our provider. He will never let us down. Amen? No, never. Listen, see, worry pretends and believes almost that God doesn't even exist. That's what worry does, loved one. See, and look what Jesus says. He says, for all these things, the Gentiles seek. In other words, Gentiles meaning lost people. He says, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need how many of these things? All of these things. Listen to me now. The devil is a liar. And the devil wants you to think like the world. He wants you to seek like the world. Remember, look at it. For all these things the Gentiles seek, people, that's lost people. He wants you to do all those things so you can worry like the world. But you know what? Listen, we are not of this world. We're citizens of heaven. Amen? And our Heavenly Father loves us, and He is going to take care of us because He knows what we need, and He knows that we need all of these things. So let the world worry, and not you and me. Amen? Look at the birds. Consider the flowers. That's what the Lord is telling us. And now He's going to say something else. He's going to say, stop worrying, and He's going to tell us how to find what we need and start seeking. Look at the next one. He says, but seek, or literally keep seeking first, that's a matter of priority, first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and here it comes, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus said, replace your worries with seeking. And loved one, listen to me now, Jesus would never tell us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and then not provide what we need. Not our greed, but what we need. Amen? Oh, listen. The world's provision is going to fail, but God's will never fail. So He says this, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. That's the future. He says, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, we have enough to deal with right this minute. What does Jesus say? He's saying, listen, live in the present. You cannot live tomorrow. Amen? He says, live right now. Listen, worrying about tomorrow, you know what it does? It robs you. It robs you of today, and it robs you of your strength, and it messes up your thinking. It just consumes you. And that's what worry does. Listen, John Curtis, who's the director of the University of Wisconsin Stress Management, says this. He says, I believe that 90% of worry and stress is brought on by not living in the present moment. Worrying about what has already happened, or worrying about what's going to happen, or what could happen. Listen, did you know that worry is really a lie? It is. See, worry will lie to you. It's lied to me. It's lied to every person. You know what worry says? Worry says, I'll protect you from what you're worrying about. I'll protect you from your fears. That's what worry does. You know, worry says, you know what? How many people, don't raise your hand, but maybe you're like you hate flying. Did you know that while you're in that plane, you can worry yourself, but it's not going to keep that plane in the air? Do you understand that? Why? Worrying doesn't help you. Worrying is a lie. You say, well, you know, I worry because I care. Well, that's an easy lie right there. Because if I don't worry, then it means I don't care. Do you understand? See, it's not true. We don't have to worry. We have to plan. We have to have a careful walk. We have to walk in wisdom. But we don't have to worry about our life. See, worry says, if you worry, I'll protect you from whatever's coming your way. And that is a lie, loved one. It's not true. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Listen, when worry comes, and I'm training myself, I really am. When worry comes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go look at the birds. I'm going to go consider the orchids in my study. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at the flowers. I'm going to try, Lord, I'm looking. I don't want to have to worry. I'm going to look at you, take care of all of that. You know what? The bird flies in the, you know, you water your yard. You know what happens when you water your yard and, you know, in the summer? Or you mow your yard, what comes and lands on it? Birds, what are they looking for? They want to help you mow? What is it? What are they looking for? Worms. There it comes and they get it. Why? God takes care of them. Well, if God's going to take care of them, He is going to take care of you. Now, are you ready to go back to Philippians 4:6? Let's do that. He says in verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing. Now, listen, don't worry about one thing, not one thing. And he tells us what we need to do. He says, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So when it says prayer, it starts off with prayer. That it is prayer, but it means more of a worship. In other words, you start off, let worship replace your worries, okay? So you just, the first thing you do, you start in your prayer time, you start worshiping the Lord. Remember the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, will be done." Remember that? Okay, well, we are to, that starts, that's worship. That's the first step in our Lord's Prayer. We worship the Lord, and also the Lord's Prayer ends in worship. We don't start out, and many of us do. We start out, we come to the Lord, we barge right in, there's no worship, and we go, "Give us this day our daily bread." You know what I'm saying? That's not what God says for us to do at all. See, we need to worship the one that is bigger and larger than all of our worries or concerns. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "Can you mention anything in your life that is too big to God?" Isn't that a great word? Nothing is bigger than God. God, I mean, listen, you know what you could do? Don't worry about everything, but pray about everything. Big things, little things, all things. In other words, shape your worries and turn them into prayers. Amen? And you do that by not just praying, but look at the next word, supplication. That's almost, you can be emotional in that one. You're pleading in a sense. You're crying out to God and making supplication for a known specific need. This is that Luke 18:1 type praying. Remember when Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint, not become discouraged, never give up. This is a James 5:16 praying, you know, that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or is very, very powerful. So thanksgiving's the next one. That's that attitude of gratitude. You can give thanksgiving unto God because you know He loves you. You know that you can cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen? So this is that attitude of gratitude. And you have to come not doubting, but thankful. Listen, you know, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? It's impossible. You have to come believing that God is there for you. And then the word request, that speaks of a definite request, if you will, specific. It's not demands, you know, and it's not a blanket prayer like, "Bless all the missionaries in the world, Lord." That's not what that word request means. It says, "Now let your request be known to every person at Calvary Chapel." That's not bad if you want to let that be known. But in context, that's not what it means. It says, let your every request, loved one, talking about worry, the cure for worry. He says, let whatever is worrying you, let it be known to God. Literally, it would read, instead of "let it be known to God," let it be known in the presence of God. You see, when you are in prayer, spiritually, are you at the throne of grace? Are you in the very atmosphere of God? Yes, He is with you. He'll never leave you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He is also alongside of you. Oh, and the angels of God. So we're in a spiritual atmosphere when we are praying. Now, so we know the promise now that we're getting ready to read from God who cannot lie. So if we do verse 6, God promises to do verse 7. Look at it. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." All understanding in the universe. Look what it will do. "It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now listen, is that incredible? Look at the word "guard" there. That's a military word. In other words, God says, here's what I'm going to do. My peace, I am going to set a guard. I'm your guard. I'm your sentinel, if you will, around your heart and your mind, okay, the two areas, worry, the attack comes, all right? But it only happens one way, through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. Peace is a person, Ephesians 2:14. He Himself is our peace, amen? So we look at that, and we have to understand, and I know you know this, but our thoughts, are they powerful? They are, aren't they? I mean, fear, you can feel, can you feel fear, guilt? Worry. Yeah, see, thoughts can be felt. And boy, the devil, I'm telling you, man, he knows the place of attack. He attacks the heart and he attacks especially the mind. If unbelievers, what has he done to the unbeliever's mind? He has blinded their minds. Oh, loved one, listen, that's where he attacks because he knows the mind, our mind, is the operating system, if you will, for guilt and fear and anxiety and also worry. That's why we obey what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare, we have weapons, by the way, of our warfare, and we're in a war, are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember in context from Corinthians where I'm reading, a stronghold is a house built upon thoughts. Does that make sense? It's a house. A stronghold is a house, and you've got all these things that are not true going around in your mind, the worry and so forth. He says, right here, then destroy them, or casting down the arguments, those mental arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. Captivity, put that thought in jail. That's a lie. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you replace that lie, that worry, with the promise and truth of God's word. Amen? And that's exactly how we do that. But then it says something. It says that the way God guards our hearts and minds, it says with a peace that surpasses all human understanding. That's unbelievable. You know, loved one, Scripture speaks of peace in different ways. For example, in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God now because we've been justified by faith through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the peace there in Romans 5:1 is a divine fact. It's not necessarily ever a feeling. Does that make sense? God's not mad at us. We have peace with God because of Christ Jesus our Lord. What guarded the heart of Paul and the mind of Paul? He's in prison. He's in Rome, and he's shackled to a guard 24/7. You know what it was? It was the all-surpassing peace, if you will, the peace that passes all understanding that guarded his heart. Whenever Peter, in the book of Acts, when he was cast in the prison, and Herod and them, they wanted to execute him the next day. And what was Peter doing in prison? He was sleeping. Why? Because the peace that passes all understanding from God was abiding upon him, loved one. Remember, God had to send an angel to wake up Peter? He kept hitting him. Come on, Peter, wake up. Remember? How about Daniel in the lion's den? Remember when they cast him in the lion's den and so forth, and they put the big boulder over the top, and all those lions were in there? And Daniel, he was peace all night long. Why? Well, an angel of the Lord showed up, closed the mouth of the lions. He had a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? But the king, what was it, Darius? I believe, may be wrong. But remember what happened? He was up all night worrying. Yeah, but not Daniel. Oh, listen, loved one. That this is a supernatural peace. And it passes our understanding. Years ago, when my wife, Becky, when she was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer, you know, you're talking about a person who didn't have peace, you're looking at him. And, you know, I remember what she did. She was writing one of our dear friends. Let me just read an excerpt from the letter. She said in her own words, she said, "Well, it took about a month to finally get all the test results, confirm the diagnosis. And in that time, you know what I did? I simply surrendered to Jesus. I know and understand the grace of God like I never have before. And when you think about the what ifs, you think, oh, I could never endure this, I could never endure that. But I know that when you need or have to go through whatever it may be, His grace is poured out upon you in order to endure." And listen to what she says. "And it was, and it is, and it was a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding." The night before her first chemo treatment, she says, "I lay awake in the bed, and in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke to me and said this." He said it so clearly. He said, "Go get 5 smooth stones, as David did, and face this Philistine," meaning cancer. I knew that this was a word just for me. And then of course, 3 years of chemo, she said, "I still have the stones sitting on a table that I see every day." Whew. And they are a memorial to remember the goodness of God. Listen, I was begging God. When you see your spouse, your wife, you can't see. If you're a man, you want to help. You have to fix it. Does that, you know what I mean? You're a man. I'm going to fix this. I'm protecting my family. I could do nothing but pray. Thank God. But I witnessed the supernatural peace of God that passes all human understanding on her. It was amazing. I saw it. Let me ask you a question. What can disturb God's peace? Nothing. Nothing at all, loved one. The Word of God, it is true. Now listen, you need to look at those scriptures, the ones that I just read here in Philippians. You need to really look deeply into them. Because you know what? God is not promising, He can do this, but it's not here, He's not promising to eliminate or banish all of your circumstances that you're going through. Amen? No. But in the context here, He's not talking about that. Here's what He's saying. Don't worry. Don't you worry about your life. Don't you worry about anything. I'm your Heavenly Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Spirit is your Comforter. You don't worry about anything because I will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it means. And that is a peace that passes all understanding. That's why Paul says, finally, brethren, in the next verse. Or it really could read like this, not finally, brethren, or if the peace of God, if you really want to experience that, and I know one day in your life you're going to need to experience it, look what he says to do. He's going to give us 8 words, okay, that should fill our thought life and our mind. In other words, we get our mind on right things and get them off of wrong things. So he says this, whatever things are what? Does the truth make you worry? No, but if you're an unbeliever, you don't know Christ Jesus, the truth better make you worry. Amen? No, but the truth, Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, amen? The devil is a liar. John 8:44, he's the father of all lies. No, the truth, man. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, worthy of honor, worthy of respect, whatever things are just or meaning, whatever things are right. It's so easy to focus on the things in this world that are not right. Amen? That are all wrong. Don't focus on that. People get so hung up on this or the White House or that. Focus on Jesus. Amen? No, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure. Oh, that's a great word, pure. Unstained by evil. We live in a vile, dirty, filthy garbage dump called the earth. Amen? Oh, it's vile here. He says, so whatever things that are lovely, whatever things are pleasing unto God. That word lovely is only used right there in the New Testament. He says, whatsoever things are of good report. Things that are well thought of in your life. He says, man, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, and don't forget these next 4 words. Meditate on these things. In other words, think them. Don't think about them. Think them. Listen, you see all those wonderful words? You know what that means? It means this, that if to focus on those things, the TV should be eliminated. I'm not saying, oh, now he's getting into legal. No, I'm just saying, look, Netflix is filth. It's filth. I mean, it's hard to fill stuff like that with your mind if there's all the junk that's on. I mean, it's just TV's filthy. It's amazing. You know, kids, even little kids are cussing. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. It's the world. But here's the thing, loved one. Listen, meditate on is not a suggestion, and it's not an option for a believer. It is literally a command. It says, meditate on these things. What does God say? He is commanding you. We want to get rid of worry. He says he's commanding every believer to think. Think. Remember what God says in Isaiah 1:18? God says, come. He's inviting us. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. God says, no, you're commanded to do that. Listen, a guarded thought life is a guided thought life. Amen? And that is so vital. Let me share something with you. This verse that I just read, verse 8, it has been called the briefest biography of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because each word, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, all of those words, do they reflect Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus true? Is Jesus pure? Oh, man, listen. So, it's hard to worry if we meditate upon him. And the Bible tells us that too. In Isaiah 26:3, God says, we'll keep you in perfect peace. I like that. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Here it comes. Whose mind is stayed upon you, upon God. And the reason? Because he trusts in you. Verse 4, yes, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Listen, do you know why a believer's mind, the reason a believer's mind is stayed upon the Lord Jesus? It's because he trusts in the Lord Jesus. Amen? And that's what's so important. Listen, you can trust in the one, Hebrews 13:8, you can trust in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, loved one. So look at our responsibility quickly. The last verse of this morning, or the verse in our text, it says here that we're to practice these things. Practice them. Watch. The things, plural, Paul says, which you learned, received, heard, saw in me. What are those next two words? These do. And the result and the peace of God will be with you. Now, Paul, listen, this is not ego again. Remember, we've already covered that. Paul is not saying I've arrived, I've attained, or he says I'm still going from glory to glory. He's not doing that. He's saying, listen, learn God's truth and then apply God's truth. In other words, don't just be a hearer of God's word, but be a doer of God's word. And if you are just a hearer and not a doer, what does it say that you are? You're deceived, loved one. You're deceived. So what have we learned in our study through Philippians? Well, chapter 1, we've learned that Christ is our life. Amen? In chapter 2, we've learned that Christ is our example. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've learned in chapter 3 that Christ is our goal. He is our prize, that we're running that race. And now, as we're slowly winding down in this great epistle, then chapter 4, verse 13, this is how Paul did it. How was it? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And Paul said, hey, and that peace of God that we all need. We need it today. We need it forever. He says that peace of God will be with you. Now listen carefully. We don't have to pray for God to be with us, do we? Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5, one of my favorite scriptures, man, that I read from the Amplified Version over and over, he says, listen, I will never leave you. I love that. Did you hear me? God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold upon you. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. Amen? Oh, I'll not be afraid. What a great scripture. Listen, God is with us. But here's the thing about it. It's one thing to say God is with me. It's another to believe God is with you. And that's the key. You see, that's the key about worry. Listen to me. Jesus' answer, the great counsel of our Savior, is so simple yet so unbelievable. He says, I want you to look. Don't worry. Just go look at some birds, okay? Don't worry. Would you just go consider the flowers? Amen? What kind of amazing word is that? He says, oh, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Father, thank you. I pray that the word spoken from your scripture this very minute, if it hasn't come alive in the hearts of your sheep, that let it come alive right now, and let it be sharper than and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Lord, let worry be tossed out the window, out of our minds and out of our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that when we do worry, we can run to you and we can turn our worries into worship. And Father, you will set a sentinel. Your peace will be a sentinel in our hearts and around our minds, protecting us from the two areas that Satan loves to attack. So, Lord, this morning, those live, those here, Lord God, let worry be displaced from their hearts and minds by your grace, by your goodness, and by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit of God. Because, Lord, we are more value, more worth, so much more than the sparrows and the flowers that you've created. And Father, if there's anyone here and that Jesus is not their Lord, I pray for them right this minute that you would move upon their heart, because, Lord, eternity is a long time to never have peace, but only torment. So as our heads are bowed, please, and every Christian praying quickly, if you've never asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord, you can right now. You don't even have to get out of your chair. This is an act of faith on your account. All you have to do is say, Bill, I'm not a believer. And lift your hand up and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. And if you'll do that, just put it up and put it right back down, and I will pray with you. Anyone at all this morning before I close? Well, Father, I hope and believe that everyone here is saved this morning. And Father, we pray over Steve and Carol now for next week. Give them not only good success in all that they do, but Lord God, prosper them there and back on their journey. Let divine favor rest upon them with every person they meet, wherever they sleep, whatever they do. Keep them in all of their ways. We love you, Lord. And we praise you today in Jesus' name. And the